Thank you, Joan. Jimmy, thank you very much. It's an honor for me to be here tonight with the Italian-American poets and the Jewish-American poets. So, I mean, I thought this evening I'd be reading some poems. Hi, Sheila. That are older poems. They're earlier poems, and they're more autobiographical than the recent poems that I've written. And the reason I did this is because I wanted to give you a taste of what it was like growing up in an Italian-American family. All four of my grandparents came from Italy, but I was especially close to my maternal grandmother. And I hope that the poems I've chosen to read will give you an idea of what she was like. Some of these contain a few Italian words, and I'm not very good at speaking Italian. In fact, I'm bad at it, but she used to speak to me in Italian, and I could understand her, and I would answer her in English, and she would understand me. So I'm going to begin with this song, Love Song. The window of the white frame house on James Street opens wide. I am 9 years old, and Grandma lives there, a tiny woman wearing a white cooking cap. She stands stirring the red sauce that will multiply like the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. Outside, the boys play ball, waiting for the fruit on her peach trees to ripen. All day, I wait for Tony Gutha's green truck. It creaks down the street like Grandma's swing. Even the chickens wake. Mrs. Bosco, Mrs. Bosco, I have some Bella peaches, Audie. In the evening, her cracked hands peel the peaches' rough skin. Their taste is sweet as the young girl in Italy listening to a poor young farmer sing as he tills her father's land. At night, I lie in the soft feathers of their bed. I can smell the sweat from that farmer. The sound of the train whistle mutes. I can hear her singing that same song. I hope I make it through this reading. It's so warm in here, and I don't blame any of you if you get up and leave. It's very warm. But anyway, yes, I would. I'd love a fan. I wish I could say it was change of life, but past that. But anyway, these next two poems are special poems to me because the holidays were very special for me when I was a child. They were always special at my grandmother's house. Christmas in Verona. Only on cold nights, when I am alone in my 4-bedroom house, my husband snoring through my dreams, my children away tucked in their new lives, do I want to crawl between the cobwebs and wrap myself in that small bedroom on James Street in Verona, Pennsylvania? That's for you. I want to remember being one of 5 children huddled in the warmth of Grandma's feather mattress, flopped against a cold hardwood floor. Her black high-top shoe held the windows beside her brass bed high enough to echo her dry cough down through the cobblestone alley where the pine tree waited under a thick white blanket. On the wooden chest beside the statue of St. Joseph, the clock ticked toward morning's promise, women rolling ravioli dough, pouring cups of 8 o'clock coffee, men drinking shots of 4 Roses whiskey, singing Buona Natalia. Holy Thursday. I think of her as I crack eggs, my flowered hands sticking to shelves, the yeast swelling inside a cup of warm water. It is Holy Thursday, 1950. Grandma sucks on a lemon drop as we climb the steep hill to St. Joe's Church. If she is tired, she never complains. The priest blesses and breaks the host. Her small head bows inside her scarpina, her scarf. The hump on her back more obvious as she leans forward on the kneeler. Her rosary shakes in hands that earlier shook around a flowered rolling pin, while Cousin Mary and I kneeled on wooden chairs, cracked eggs inside the blue-rimmed bowl, then turned their shells down to drain on the pasta dish. Nothing was wasted in Grandma's house. She will brush the whites on the Easter pizza piano, carve the sign of the cross on the mound of dough ready for the oven. Nomine Patri, Filio, Santo Spiritu. Gals, gals, hurry, we're going to be late for church, she said in Italian. Now, you don't have to be Italian to relate to this. And my friend who is Greek actually gave me a little round eye. This is called the Maloiki, and it's the evil eye. And many, many cultures have this. When our daughter was born, Aunt Jean said, don't say she's beautiful. Don't even think it without saying, God bless her. And don't forget to pin holy medals in her crib to ward off the evil eye. I did it, she said, half believing, remembering. See a Janina sitting on a red chrome chair, too small for her hanging flesh, as she made the sign of the cross on our mother's forehead, then added a few drops of oil to water in a white porcelain bowl and began chanting prayers in Italian. Vieni qua, she called to my sister and me, hiding behind her white laced curtains. Guarda, look, she said. Mama got bad, real bad, she said, as oil formed little golden rings in the water, then spread wide as our eyes. And I can't imagine oil doing anything else in water. So everybody that went to her had this Maloiki, and she was the person that was going to take it away from them. Thank you. I think we carry ourselves wherever we go. Several years ago, my husband and I went to Cordova, New Mexico to visit the bean fields, and somebody came along with me. Grandma, you have followed me to these bean fields in Cordova, New Mexico. Together we walked the years down another dirt road in Verona, PA, where the blue bandana lifts strands of silver from your parched skin. Your callous hands pick raspberries creeping from wooden fences, plop them gently into your folded apron. Cousin Mary skips ahead, bouncing pick and shovel. I lag behind, spilling water from filled buckets. This woman had, she had four gardens. She was widowed in her 50s and raised nine children and earned a living from these gardens and also from boarders in her home. She was an amazing woman. She's my idol, the perfect Italian grandmother. This next poem is my version of a holding place for my deceased relatives, Grounded Angels. Uncle Pellegrino hides in the corner, covering another rolling rock. The sisters are disgusted. I see it on their faces. Things haven't changed much here. Uncle Aquilino argues with the stranger in dark glasses over President Bush's energy plan, as if that matters where they're going. It's cold standing in their shadows. My mother offers to button my worn overcoat, but I can't reach her extended hand. I recognize the music made by the man with two missing fingers and a golden saxophone. He has been standing here the longest, and still Grandma has not called to him. Mio figlio, vieni qua. I could swear Aunt Lucia just tapped my shoulder. When I turn around, I see a single yellow butterfly floating above my head. All aboard, the conductor calls as Grandma lowers her baby, Alfred, from her arms onto the platform, then unknots the white handkerchief pulled from her faded blue smock, covering her breasts. Uno, due, tre, quattro, cinque, sei, sette, otto. She still has two coins left. She motions to the conductor to go on without them. She will wait for her other two children, Carmelo and Mario, standing with me across the tracks. That's it. And this is what being a grandmother is like for me today. This will be my last poem. Improvisation of Three Billy Goats Gruff. In April, at night, when the rest of us sleep, trees bloom little by little, quietly, like my grandsons who walk in woods with me this rainy morning. Boots squishing under budding forsythia, little heads bobbing under green and blue umbrellas, dragging ball, bat, and glove over shiny wet stones. Lost my place. We come to a wooden bridge. Make believe the crooked tree stump with exposed roots underneath is an ugly troll. We are the three Billy Goats Gruff. The little one crosses first, then his bigger brother, and then me. I say, I will kill that mean old troll. Too late. He dead, the little one says, as his older brother aims his weapon at the tree stump and relieves himself. Thank you. Thanks.